beautiful about Psalm is that it can not only be a teaching, but it can be a prayer straight away. Can be the language of our heart before the Lord, and it can convert into conversation and prayer. In fact, that's how David opens up most of the Psalms here. Some of them are praise, some of them are meditation, but mostly, most of the Psalms, when you come around, they are your prayer languages, personal prayer languages and corporate prayer languages. So, you know, the Psalms are beautiful because, you know, it's got a full range of emotion. David normally comes, or the psalmist comes to God in trouble because their heart is embittered because of the problems. But as they approach the presence of God, they meet with God, and problem dissolves and God becomes powerful and they become centered again. So we just read Psalm 16. This is a Psalm of David that goes with Psalm 15, which I don't have time to get into. You can read it. They go together. Both are Psalm of David. Really, David asks a question: who can ascend? Who can abide in your tabernacle? Who can dwell in your holy hill? Who can ascend to your holy hill? And the answer is found in the character. It's more than just, you know, technique. Even though, you know, the David set up his tabernacle on the holy hill, he says, who can really approach and dwell in the presence of God? It is to do with the condition of our heart. It's about the character. But here, David comes in prayer, and the word here opens up as a miktam of David. Miktam. Miktam, what does that mean? Well, we don't really know, but there is a derivation of the word cover. So there are, beside these five more psalms, that are miktam of David, but it, you know, means cover. So sometimes people think that it's a kind of an atonement psalm, but we know that David is seeking a cover before the Lord. He's saying, Lord, preserve me. So David has so many enemies. How many feel that you need cover? Covering of the Lord, shadow of Almighty God to bless us and to keep us safe. So David runs to the presence of God and say, God, preserve me. When you pray, preserve me, what are you going through? When you come before God and say, Lord, preserve me, what are you feeling inside? Fear. Fear of attack. Fear of enemies. You're insecure. You need the covering of God's grace, God's favor. So he starts out with a prayer, preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. God is my defense. Can we say that? God is my defense. Let's pray. If you have a boss who is coming after you, or you feel you are persecuted, misunderstood, or the world in general is not very, you know, kind to you, is hostile to you, we can always come to God for covering. And he's saying, you know, miktam, covering of the Lord. And let's pray this verse. Preserve me, O God. For in you I put my trust. We can't see God, but God is an invisible wall of barrier and protection. And David takes his time, and the first word is preservation, protection. He prays that straight away. We can always pray that in the morning when you go into a meeting and you know that maybe a few people are against you, or when you go into exam, when you go into difficult, you know, meeting, whatever you go into, you can have this prayer. You can pray this verse, Lord, preserve me, because my protection is not someone in power, or you know, what I have, I don't have. You are my protection. You are my covering. I acknowledge it, and I put on your protection. Your name is a great tower. I run to your presence. Amen. So that starts off the conversation. As David starts off the conversation of prayer, seeking covering, quickly he comes under the covering of God's presence. And he goes very deep into the presence of God. And verse 2, he says, O my soul, Oh my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. So that's again a response of David's heart. But he says here, oh my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my God. You know that sometimes our soul is very late. Like, you know, you're in a car with a gear. I used to drive a manual car many years ago. And this old Honda Civic was driving this car. And one day, the clutch was so old, it didn't have the powertrain anymore. So I kicked in the gear. And, normally when you put into third gear and then you put accelerator, car goes forward. And it accelerator, I put, and the car is going forward very slowly because the thing was worn out and it wasn't kicking in. Sometimes it's like that. You come into the presence of God, your spirit is willing, fire, presence of God, Lord, I want to worship you and praise you, and your soul is going, a little behind. You drag. There is a drag. It's like, you can see your spirit is just praying, but your soul or your body is even dragging further, just trying to scrape your body off the floor, get up and pray, Body is just, your soul has this weight. It's complaining. Your soul is complaining, questioning and doubting. And David is saying, my soul, awaken. You have said to the, sometimes you got to say, soul, David says, praise the Lord. When you don't feel like praising, you drag it up. Soul, my soul, praise the Lord. And he says, my soul have said, you are my God. You are my God. I've asked for your covering, and I declare you are my God. And normally, when you come across you are my God, what do you normally hear next? This is a very, very simple formula that comes over and over again. Lord, you are my God. In you I trust. Whom shall I fear? Right? That's the sentence that will come next. If he is for you, who is can be against you? So many, many times it says, you are my God, you are my shield, of whom shall I be afraid? That's what you expect. But David says something different here. He says, my goodness is nothing from you. He's saying, Lord, I know you are my God. But he goes deeper. He prays actually a different prayer this time. He says, apart from you, my goodness is nothing. My life is meaningless apart from you. He is saying that my heart's desire is, Lord, that you do preserve me, but what I really want, what I really desire is you. Apart from you, there is nothing good in my life, and that's what I want. That's you. You are my God, and you are my heart's desire. You are what I want. You are the one I pursue. So that's a deeper confession David makes there, which is beautiful. It's a prayer of love. It's a prayer of loyalty. Can we say that? Lord, apart from you,
Lord, apart from you,
my goodness is nothing. There is no goodness. There is no blessing apart from you. You are what I want. You are my heart's desire. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And then he says this in verse 3, as for the saints who are on earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Can you say that? As for the saints on earth?
As for the saints on earth.
No, I didn't say as for the saints in heaven. There is a saying that somebody said, whoa, to dwell with the saints in heaven above is glory, but to dwell with the saints earth below is another story. Another story. But David is saying, Lord, the saints, your people, I delight in them. I love your people. My delight is in your people, in your church, in God's people. I mean, in Australia, there are many, many who say, I love the Lord, I love Jesus, but I hate the church. I can't stand God's people. I hate church, but I love the Lord. This is, you know, we need to be in right relationship with the people of the earth as well, yes. As well, I mean, you know, people in heaven, they don't have flesh anymore. They are easy to deal with. David is expressing his heart for the body of God's people on earth. This is very, very precious. And sometimes it's not easy. It's challenging, right? To dwell with the saints on earth, because we are not perfected. But that's what perfects our love, to get knocked and get, you know, learn. I remember a little boy was quoting Psalm 23. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want." So David is saying that, "The Lord is my shepherd. Lord, apart from you, there's no goodness apart from you. I want you. I want your presence in my life forever." But he's smart enough to say, "I delight in your people," because God delights in his people. I don't think I've seen anyone who really excels and walks in true spiritual blessing who are not rightly related to the body of Christ, who are not rightly related to church. So, can we say that? You know? Yeah, we said that. I delight in God's... God delights in his people. Lord, give me your heart for the body of Christ. Amen? This is an area that we can all grow. We need to be rightly related to the body and to the church. Don't despise the church. Please, yeah. Let's not despise the church of the living God. God is working on her. And when we despise it, we do not come under blessing of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 4 says, "Their sorrow shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their name on my lips." David is saying, "I love you, Lord. I love your people. I love your church. I love God's people." And then he's saying there are two kinds of altars. And he's saying, who are they here? They're not Israelites. They're not pagans. They're Israelites, but who are running after pagan altars. He says, sorrows will be multiplied who hasten after another God. Idolatry. Idolatry. There's an idolatrous altars. He says, whoever runs, thirst after different gods, set up their altar and offer, the picture is offering and pouring out blood sacrifice, or even drinking a cup of blood as part of the ritual. And he says, those who do that in their life, their sorrows will be multiplied. And these are may not be pagans. They may be Israelites, God's people who set up idol altars, idols in their lives. Sorrows multiply when we run after idols. Now, what kind of pagan altars were there in Israel in the days of David? Two, mainly. One is Baal, altar of Baal. The other one is altar of Asherah. Baal is in the Greek, the same god, same guy, or same demon. It's same thing as Zeus. He's a god of thunder, he's a god of rain, god of economic blessing. God of thunder, what's the god of thunder in today? Thor. false father is Zeus. We're really talking about the same thing. It was Baal who holds this lightning bolt in his hand because he controls lightning and rain. So people can have a good crop because they can get rain if you worship Baal. So now we have this, you know, Thor, the god of thunder, and we clap and we have fun. It's the same, you know, demon really, in when you trace it. Zeus in Greek, Baal in Hebrew. And then there is another one called Asherah poles, Asherah. Asherah is a female goddess. She is fertility goddess. And when you come across New Testament, again, it's the same thing. It's called Diana. Diana. We've got Diana, don't we? Well, Diana or Artemis. And I'm not going to put a picture on it because it's quite, you know, ugly, quite sickening. But there are, you know, Asherah poles are phallic, male phallic symbol. And then Diana or Artemis is the statue of a woman with many breasts, multiple breasts. So it's a phallic symbol, both breast and the male thing. And they were worshiping before these symbols. What are they wanting? How do they worship? They offer sacrifices and they have orgies there as part of sexual orgies as part of their worship before the altar of these demons. And what are they seeking? They are seeking blessing, the rain, so their crops will be there, and also the lots of children, right? Fertility, economic prosperity. And David is saying, those people, even though, you know, in Israel, every mountain, they had these symbols, and people will offer sacrifices there, while they were called God's people. And David is saying, those who have these altars, go to these altars, share in their altars, pour their blood in the altar, partake of this table of demons, their sorrows will be multiplied. Multiplied. Even though they're God's people. Now today, we don't have Asherah poles, we'll be laughing at it. We don't have these, you know, Diana statues. But we've got billboards, we got posters, we got TV, we got computer screens. I think any screens, they can be portals and they can be altars. What are we worshiping? What are we seeing? What are we allowing? They're kind of altars. When we put on, you know, your CD, your players can be altar of God when we put worship in there. It's an altar of God. It's a portal to connect with the Spirit of God, the spirit world. When we put on some silly, you know, heavy rock music full of curses, what happens? It's an altar. Demonic altar that releases its demonic influence. And those who go after these things, their sorrows will be multiplied. Sure thing. What's David saying? I'll have nothing to do with it. Zero association, he says. Not even will I take their name on my lips. I will not offer sacrifice to these demons. In fact, Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, says, can you take off the altar of Satan, altar of Baal, altar of Asherah, and partake of the table of the Lord, the cup of the Lord at the same time? He says, no, cannot. Had the same thing back in those days. They had all these altars, and they would slaughter an animal, and they would drink the blood. And that was the sacrifice. And so there was a question about the meat sold in the markets. You know, is this clean meat or not clean meat? Is that the meat that was offered to the demons or not? We need to understand, and we need to be pretty clear. In my life, in my vicinity, in everything that I touch and eat, in my household, I will have nothing to do with demon altars. Paul says, you cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of the demons at the same time. Two doesn't mix. Many Christians or the new Christians, we actually need cleansing, house cleansing. You know, think about it, whatever is used to release demonic, it's an altar, it's a portal. Says they, like David, we gotta say, I'm gonna have nothing to do with it. Go through, clean it out, anoint your TV, anoint your computer screen. When you go back, Lord, let this screen be a portal of your presence, Lord. Let this, you know, stereo, what do you call them? We don't even use CD much nowadays, MP3 player, Wi-Fi, you know, Bluetooth, green tooth, all this electronic stuff. Lay hands on it, cleanse it, sanctify your table, chairs, you know. Lord, as I sit here, Lord, I want to experience you. I want your presence. Lord, you know, in your kitchen, everywhere. Lord, I want to have zero association with demonic altars. Tear it down. Amen. Amen. And anointed. Hallelujah. Spirit realm is very real. So got to make sure that we don't have any influence. No compromise. Amen. Lord, send your fire to our homes. Open our eyes. Give us discernment, Lord God, to tear down these altars, oh God, that enemy has been using to access and to produce sorrows in our lives. Father God, we pray that you will reveal them, Lord, that we will tear them down in the name of Jesus, and we'll have nothing to do with demonic altars in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, altar is a place where you regularly come and spend time. Altar is like every Sunday, we know that we are getting together Wednesday or whenever. You know, the set time that you have set before God, that we've said, this is a time we're going to meet for the Lord, that becomes an altar. Because if you keep coming, meeting, the angels know, and they come and wait for you. You set up the altar of God. Set up the altar of God. How do we deal with demonic altars? You replace it with the altar of God. And last week, Pastor Subi was sharing three altars. What was it? Personal altar, family altar, and then church altar. And then three, connect to support each other, to draw strength from each other. It's a time where you said, you know, when I first came to Australia, I really needed to learn to speak English, learn English, because, you know, I was already a teenager. So I set up an altar, 100-day altar. Every day, 10 o'clock, I'll be in my room. And, you know, I'll just spend time with the Lord and ask the Lord to help me. Because I was the worst in English. Worst. It was last. It was terrible. And the word got out, you know. Oh, Paul is, you know, hopeless. He's useless. Like, you know, he's the worst student ever. So 10 o'clock, 100 days. That was my altar. That was my altar. But I do remember, you know, at some point, like I walked in, it's after that 100 days, the Lord did help me, so I can talk to you. I knew I had to preach in English. I had to preach in English. That was the call of God. You know, I would just walk in, and I would just know the presence of God was in the room. The Lord was waiting for me. Because that becomes an altar. When you set a time, and you expect the presence of God, you spend time with the Lord. Lord, here I am. The Lord is there to meet with you. And he will say things that are amazing. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 I want to also encourage, you know, Sunday, don't get up late. Get up early. Come early. It's an altar. You're not just attending a service. It's more than that. You're coming before the altar of God to bring sacrifice of praise. Our life, our attitude is very important when we come before the Lord. When you come with an attitude, God is pretty lucky to have me. You get nothing. When you come with an attitude, you know, I'm such a good Christian, I come, you know, I fulfill my obligation, you get nothing. The Lord sees the proud from afar. What kind of heart do we bring with us to the presence of God in the morning when we gather? That really sets the barometer of the presence of God. Amen. What kind of heart and hunger and humility and praise? What are you bringing to sacrifice? Sacrifices of praise. Amen. 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 Set up altar. And then the corporate altar is very important. How we relate to the corporate altar and then translate it into personal altar and family altar. And as the three altars connect, we ask the Lord to send missile. Intercontinental ballistic missile to the demonic altars. Have you heard this missile called Bunker Buster? Bunker Buster. Underneath our soul, there may be some altars, demonic altars. It may be that something that you've been compromising or your ancestors set up, and it may be below the surface. But in that demonic altar, what's happening is there is a factory producing sorrow in your life. They're running like 24/7. Sorrow producing factory underground, hidden before your sight, operating underground altars of demons. And when we set up a godly altar, call upon the name of the Lord, ask the Lord to send the fire, God can send fire, missile, to bust those bunkers. Hallelujah. Get rid of them. Destroy them. Right? There may be things that your grandfather did 3 and 4 generations ago. Committed the family line into some kind of a demon for the sake of prosperity. A lot of us here are from different backgrounds. We know, not Christian background. If we go back 3, 4 generations, and there may have been a lot of things being done. Offering this, offering that for blessing and prosperity. Familiar with that? Yes. Joss sticks and things like that. Offering stuff for what? Prosperity. Exactly the same thing. Baal and Asherah. Exactly the same thing. Lord, if I have this, then you bless my business. It's the same thing. We gotta bust them up. Right? Bunker Buster missile. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, send your Holy Spirit, O God. Lord, break and destroy these bunkers, O God, and altars that are hidden and, Lord, hindering our progress with you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray that you will bust these bunkers, destroy those altars in the name of Jesus. Lord, cleanse our line, cleanse our bloodline, cleanse our soul, O God, from all forms of compromise, every form, O God, of ungodly demonic altars, O God. Father, we pray that you cleanse us, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Let your blessing take over your people freely as in heaven, in the name of Jesus. Amen. David says this, I will not even take up their name. And you say that? I will not even take up their name on my lips. Amen. This is very important. You know, today, I think we are living under a situation that is a lot worse than days of David. They had some, like, you know, crude altars and crude wooden, you know, images. We've got high definition TVs nowadays and IMAX cinemas and all kinds of things everywhere. I mean, you know, these screens and the phone, I mean, the kind of information and the images, I mean, the portals, the connections that we have nowadays is incredible. But will God's people walk like David? With a heart like David. Amen. Amen. We will. Yes. By the grace of God. And then next verse is beautiful. David says, Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. That's beautiful. It's the same prayer. He said, Lord, my goodness is nothing apart from you. I don't, you know, there is no blessing apart from you. And he says, Lord, you are my portion and my inheritance and my cup. And you maintain my lot. God, you are my inheritance. You are my portion. You are my cup. He's talking about the demonic cup of full of blood. But he's saying, no, my cup, I'm not going to drink it. I'm not going to even touch it. I'm not going to even mention it. But I will take this cup. And this cup is you. It's your presence. It's your Holy Spirit. It's your Holy Word. It's yourself. You are my inheritance. You are my portion. I'm not going to touch those portions, but Lord, you are my portion, and you maintain my lot. And he says, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance, because David has made the Lord his inheritance. Out of the 12 tribes, only one tribe couldn't have their natural inheritance in the land. Which one is it? Levite. These are the priestly tribe. And the priestly tribe couldn't have their own inheritance of the land, but they were supported by others. They didn't have their own land to pass on because the Lord was their inheritance, and the Lord blessed them to serve him, near him, close to him. David is saying, Lord, David is actually not Levite, right? He's from the tribe of Judah. But he's saying, even though I'm from the tribe of Judah, Lord, you are my inheritance. David inherited the kingdom of Israel. But David is saying, no, you are my inheritance. You are my cup. And you maintain my lot. You know, you allow the Lord to allot you. You make God your inheritance. God will see to it that you get your inheritance, good portion, and God maintains it for you. Do you remember when Israel was going into the land of promise? What happened? They were on the other side of the Jordan. They were trying to go in, take possession of the land. There are 2.5 tribes that are standing on the other side of the Jordan, and it's a vast land. They didn't have to fight for the land. And it's nice land, lots of green grass. It's very comfortable. And if you go in, you have to fight. But they are saying, you know what? I actually want to choose this land. Can I actually take this land? Before even God allot them their land, half tribe of Manasseh, Gad, and Reuben. Reuben, Gad, and half tribe of Manasseh. They were saying, well, you know, brothers, why don't you go ahead and fight for the land? We want to have this land. We want to just wait here. I want to take this one. I don't have to fight for it. It's good. It's easy. It's nice. I choose for myself. So what happened? Moses said, or Joshua, there was a Moses, said that you have to still go in and fight. Your wives and your children can inherit the land, but you still have to go and fight. And they did. And they got their land. They chose for themselves what's best for them before Lord assigned them their inheritance. Now, where are they? Where is their land? That is the eastern part of Jordan. Today, it is Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon. That's a trouble spot. Takes a lot of strength to maintain that land. Because there's an enemy always coming. Amorites and Ammonites and, you know, all these ites are there. They went and grabbed. They were trying to look after number one. Instead of going for what God is saying, they were trying to lay hold of their own inheritance before God gives them, chose for them, and they have to maintain. It's hard. Now, they will get it, But it takes a lot more work. But inside the land, land of Judah, Jerusalem, around there, that's been the center of God's activity. Amen. Same thing with us. It's very wise for us to make the Lord our inheritance and allow the Lord to allot us our blessing, our portion, our life, our ministry, our influence, our boundaries, achievement, you know, the blessings, all that. And let God maintain it. Because if God gives it to us, He maintains it. Amen. If I grab something before time, we have to maintain it, no matter what. And David is a wise man because he got the counsel of the Lord. He says, look, the lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. This is my inheritance that God had given me. I delight in it because it's a good part. It's the best portion of the land. It's the best portion. Do you believe that? Do you believe God has given you a good inheritance? God has a lot more. God has. Can you say of your life, God has given me good inheritance? Lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. Lord, I want that one. I want, you know, the brother so-and-so's. Not mine. Let's swap. I don't like mine. We allow the Lord. Hallelujah. It's an instruction. It's a wisdom of the Lord. And David says, Lord, what you've given me, David never had to fight for his inheritance. Never fought for the kingdom. Never fought to take the kingdom away from Saul. Never had to grab anything. God will just grant it. And God will maintain it. You know, when Absalom was coming against him, his son was trying to dethrone his father. We'll just go, let's go. Time to go. But don't kill him, please. Don't kill my son. He'll just leave. And God brought him back. His son was killed. Absalom. If we make the Lord our inheritance, the Lord will give us good land. Amen. Amen. He gives us good things. God doesn't have to take from another to give it to you. He's got enough for everybody. But we have to receive it from the Lord. Ultimately, only thing that you can keep is not what you work for. It's what you receive from the Lord. What you work for, you have to keep it. And one day you will have it. Another day somebody else will take it. What God gives it to you and you receive from the Lord is yours. It's truly yours. He says, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. See how wise David is? It's a counsel he's received from the Lord. He lived by it. And he says, my heart also instructs me in the night seasons. Two words here. The Lord gives him counsel. His heart, his spirit instructs him in the night seasons. Have you had that instruction in the night season in your heart? When you're tossing and turning, you're thinking all the events of the day, you go backwards and forwards in between in your brain. What I said or what, you know, how I responded or how, you know. And the Lord is saying, why don't you forgive? Why don't you let go? Why don't you humble yourself? Why don't you love? Why don't you? Why don't you? And you're going forth and backwards in between, and the wisdom, your heart is instructing you. See, the Lord gives counsel. The word instruction is actually, in Hebrew word, it's reproof. It's a rebuke. Your heart rebuking you. So the Lord gives counsel. Your spirit is giving you chastening, rebuke. Sometimes training, rebuke, reproof. Teaching, instruction. Now, how open are you to the instruction of the Lord that comes through your spirit? It is the same amount that you are open to the counsel of the Lord. Amen? You believe that? How open I am to the chastening coming from the voice of my spirit, voice of your conscience, my conscience, is the same degree I'm actually open for the counsel of the Lord. And when you get the counsel of the Lord, my goodness, we are very blessed. But the counsel of the Lord is not that easy. It's for the humble. It's for the people who are teachable, who are correctable. Uncorrectable people, unfortunately, end up getting destroyed before time. Happens over and over again. But if we can get corrected, if our hearts and ears are open to correction and the rebuke of the Lord, then we end up with wisdom, counsel of the Lord. And when the counsel of the Lord is on your side, my goodness, devil is not smart enough. There is no human being or cooperation smart enough to overthrow you. Hallelujah. Amen. Is the counsel of the Lord with you? Yes. Let's say the counsel of the Lord is with me. I listen to the instruction of the Lord in the night season that comes through my spirit. Teach me to hear your voice. Teach me to discern your rebukes. Teach me to receive your correction. Teach me, Lord, that I may have your counsel before me all the time. Amen. Man, if you have the counsel of the Lord, amen, amen, hallelujah. And David says, now how he got all this teaching? David was a very wise man. How did he get all this teaching? How did he know? How did his heart know in the time of battle? All these precious teachings. And the counsel of the Lord was with him. How? Very simple. This is the secret I'm giving you. Secret of David's life. Let's say, secret of David's life. Let me have it too, Lord. Amen. Okay. What is the secret of David's life? Let's read. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Let's read again. I have set the Lord always before me. Let's put some emphasis on the word set. I have set the Lord always before me. And because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Now, if the Lord is at your right hand, you will not move. Are you shaken or are you shakable? Are you movable?
No.
Are you shaking?
No.
If we are shaking, when we are shaking, we need to set the Lord before us always. Because when you see that the Lord is at your right hand, you will not move. You will not worry. This is a key. David said, I have set the Lord always before me. Now, this is biblical. How do you set the Lord? Yeah, let me demonstrate in more physical way. Lord, here is a chair. Please have a seat. Let's talk. Even though you can't see him physically, you can see from your heart. You can close your eyes and see the Lord and set the Lord before you. When you're under stress, when you have to run for cover, Lord, cover, cover, cover me. You can set the Lord before you. Now, turn to Book of Acts, chapter 2. I want to show you something. It's so simple. You set the Lord always. You see him with the eyes of your heart. Verse 25. Peter is quoting from this verse. Are you there? Let's, if you are there, read it together. For David says concerning Jesus, concerning him, I For so the Lord always before my face, for he is my right hand, that I may not be shaken. He's saying, this was the secret of David's life. David has, what is he saying? For so the Lord always before him, before his face. So that David didn't move when he could have quit and run. He didn't. He could have been destroyed. He didn't. Why? Because David foresaw the Lord. Now, Greek word there, which you don't have to know, but it is a prophetic thing. It's a foreseeing. It's a prophetic thing. So what happened first? David set the Lord, which became seeing the Lord. That's how the Lord trains our eyes of our heart. You know, 120 in that day, on the day of Pentecost, they all saw the Lord. Why? Because Holy Spirit was poured out mightily. They all saw the Lord. Remember those, I mean, I don't know how many, you know, as I said, okay, the example. I walked in my room, I was hit with the glory. And I just knew the Lord was waiting for me in my room. I didn't see him with my physical eyes, but I knew he was there. I saw him. I didn't see him physically, but I heard him very clearly. He was there. And it was fun, you know. It was concerning Mia before I married. And I could say I saw the Lord. All 120 saw the Lord on that day. Now, there are times when you see the Lord, when the presence of God draws so close to you, you can say you've seen him, you've heard him. There are other times when you don't have the same Holy Spirit coming over you. What do? You set the Lord. You set the Lord. That's called practicing God's presence. Whenever you close your eyes and pray, you don't think about, Jesus so far away, all the problems. No, no. Before you begin to utter prayers, asking God for this and that, you set the Lord. Settle your soul. That's prayer. But when we just cry out, I need a help, that's just sending SOS message. That's also prayer, but kind of a low form of prayer. But you set the Lord, and when you set the Lord, you set the Lord, you set the Lord, you set the Lord, always you end up seeing the Lord. Foresaw, prophetic seeing. Hallelujah, the Lord becomes real. And that's how you receive instructions in the night. Huh? How do you receive instructions at the night? Because you have set the Lord in your heart during the day. In the heat of the battle, you set the Lord, you sing the Lord in your heart. Lord, what do you want? What are you doing? What are you saying? What response are you after from me? What are you watching? See, we're going through tests. And when you don't see the Lord, we often fail the test. When you see the Lord, the intention of the Lord, what God is watching, the movement of our heart, on the time of stress, you set the Lord, you get the instruction. What is all about? How God wants you to respond? What kind of heart he wants to carry? And the presence of God becomes real. This is a test. See, God actually gives us revelations, and then he tests us. What are we going to do with that revelation? Does it make us proud? Look down on others? Despise others? Or when God gives revelation, how do you carry it in your heart? Do you pray? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It's good. David is a man taught by the Lord. Hallelujah. And he's saying, the Lord is always at my right hand. I'm at his right hand, he says. Yeah? And it's both ways. Verse 9, 10, I'm going to just close because I'm going to really quickly go through. He says, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh will also rest in hope. Who had a good sleep this morning? Whose physical body is in good sleep, good condition? Who is stressed out? Don't put your hand up. Stressed out. All your nerves are like a zzz. I need rest. Zzz. Who has rejoicing? See, when you know God is at your right hand, song of rejoicing comes out. There is a rejoicing and there is a rest, even at the most difficult time. Amen. She said, I'm glad. My glory rejoices. My glory rejoices. Glory of God that is in your spirit is just pulsating with life because you are confident God is with you and you have his counsel with you. And your physical body can also rest, which leads to restoration, healing. Our physical body can come under the restoration, healing, and blessing of God. And he says, my flesh will rest, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. This is one of the most marvelous prophetic words about Jesus' death and resurrection. Yes? Never happened to David. David never rose, but he had, see, this is a prophetic anointing in full flight. Death and resurrection. It's not even his body will be undergoing corruption, so Jesus had to be raised up in 3 days. Because after 3 days, body began to rot. Back in those days, they didn't have all this preservative. Nowadays, we eat so much preservatives. After 3 days, our body is still okay. But back in those, Lazarus, 4 days, begin to smell. See, after 3 days, between 3 and 4 days, something happens. Body begin to rot, break down. But now, we are fine for many days. Especially you put all kinds of chemical nowadays, you know, make you look nice. So Jesus couldn't stay more than 3 days. Because his body cannot be allowed to corrupt. Jesus rose, hallelujah. Before any of the corruption set in his body. But it was a prophetic word. Because the Lord is at right hand of David. Whatever the Lord shows, it just flows. But also another application is that so long as the Lord is at your right hand, you are at his right hand, death, Sheol, corruption, failure has no relevance to you. Amen. Has no power over you. Hallelujah, because Jesus is life. Death will not reign over you. Failure will not reign over you. Your glory rejoices. Your glory just explodes from within your spirit. Hallelujah. And he says, he will show me the path of life. Why? Because Jesus is life. And in your presence is not just joy, fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. How many like joy, life, pleasure? This is a good pleasure at his right hand. David set the Lord in his right hand. In the Lord's right hand, pleasures forevermore. How many, you know, hate sorrow? Sorrow. Sorrow factory somewhere working underground. At devil's right hand are the sorrows. They will, devil trying to dance with you and trying to give you chocolate full of sugar. And his right hand is a sorrow, dagger. The Lord's right hand,
pleasures,
fullness of joy. Pleasures. Hallelujah, life. We set the Lord. Why don't we just close our eyes? Why don't we set the Lord? Let's do a setting the Lord before our eyes. Set the Lord before you at his right hand. Hallelujah. In his right hand are pleasures. And out of his heart comes instructions. Counsel is with you. It's for you. Whatever the stress and challenges, can you see the Lord with you? Because he is. You are not making this stuff up. It's biblical. That's what David did. That's what all the great men and women of God did. They set the Lord before them. And they saw the Lord highly lifted up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
할렐루야.
Sing the joy of desire once through. The worship team will sing joy of my desire once through. Why don't you set the Lord and hear him? Lord, do you have a counsel for me? What is your encouragement? You can connect with the song too.
All consuming fire, Lord of glory, rose of shepherd rare and sweet. You are now my Comforter and friend, wonderful, so beautiful, you are to me. I worship you in spirit.
Stand. Let's pray a prayer of just tearing down any demonic altars and underground bunkers that have been working in our lives, producing sorrow and bitterness. The root of bitterness has been ruining the crop of harvest of joy and fruitfulness in our life. We're going to destroy it in the name of Jesus. We're going to ask the fire of God to fall and cleanse any works of the enemy, any carryover the weight, hallelujah, and any curse that may be working in our lives. Oh, haraba sakarabaka. Let's just all lift up our voice, lift up our hands. Let's ask the Lord to send the fire, Lord, to tear down and to show you any root of bitterness and the altar of devil. He's been accessing you and accessing your heart, pulling you away from the counsel of the Lord. Father God, I call upon the fire of God, Lord, to send your fire. Lord, let the underground altars, oh God, Lord, these bunkers be busted, oh God, and destroyed, oh God. These factories, oh God, that are producing sorrows, oh God. And Lord, deception, Lord, the lack of fruitfulness in our lives because of the, Lord, this bitterness coming out of these wells of the devil. In the name of Jesus, we tear it down in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, every screen, Lord, every poster, every Lord, windows of the soul, Father God, that had been used, Lord, to access the demonic realm, Father, we tear it down in the name of Jesus. Send your fire in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your people, Lord, we arise, oh God, with the heart of David, that their liberation of blood, I will not partake, and even their lips, I will not put on my lips in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, send your fire, tear down, Lord, kick
and uproot, oh God, every root of bitterness, every, Lord God, the works, and every, Lord, a frustration in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, we tear it out in the name of Jesus. We take it out of our life in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that your clean water, living water, flow into our spirit. Let the joy of the Lord flow. Joy of the Lord flow in the name of Jesus. Let the glory of God arise. Let the glory of God in our spirit rejoice and arise, O God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your presence, O God, Lord God, Lord, come upon us. Father, let your instruction, Lord, come and pave the way, Lord God, that we may walk in the way of the Lord, walk in the way of your counsel, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, let your rivers of the living water, Lord, restoration in the name of Jesus, into our bodies as well. Father, we pray, Lord, that you release the living water, Lord God, that will refresh everybody. Lord Jesus, every flesh that are tired, every flesh that couldn't have proper rest, every flesh that couldn't rejoice and enjoy the protection. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, I speak blessing. Father God, that you touch everybody. Every stress, I break your power. Command you to leave everybody in the name of Jesus. Every fear, we arrest you and bind you, Lord, and release the presence of God and joy in the name of Jesus. Fullness of joy. Hallelujah. Release the presence of God. Release the fullness of joy and the pleasures of the Spirit. Hallelujah, Lord. Pleasures of being in your presence, Lord. We release it. Father, I pray that you will open every heart, open every eye, Lord, as we set the Lord before our face, O God, that our eyes will be open, that we will foresee you, O God. Lord, that we will see with our spiritual eyes, and Lord, that our eyes will be open to see you, O God, in the name of Jesus. We'll walk in faith, O God. Hallelujah, Father, we thank you. Father, we curse every work of the enemy. Let's say it together. In the name of Jesus, I tear out the altar of demons in my life. Asherah poles, Baal poles, I tear it out of my life and throw it far from me. The tents of weakness will not come anywhere near me. I'll build the altar of the Lord. I'll build personal altar, family altar, and corporate altar in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your blessing flow, O God, in the name of Jesus, Father. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that you will make this truth real, Lord Jesus, that we will move deep. Hallelujah. Lord, that this year we will have a deep encounter, deeper water. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let's sing.
I worship you in spirit and in truth. I worship you in spirit and in truth.
Consuming fire.
joy of our
joy of my desire.
Abba, Father, you are our covering and you are our right hand. Abba, Father, we declare you are our peace, our joy, our rest, our glory.
Hallelujah.
Lord, your counsel flows from your heart to our hearts, to my heart, Lord. Lord, I pray that you bless your people, Lord, with your presence. As we practice your presence like David did, Lord. Lord, may our eyes foresee you. May our eyes, O God, and the eyes of our heart and our physical eyes see your beauty and your glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, may the presence and the pleasure of the Lord that is at your right hand be manifest upon your people. As we seek your face, bless us, O God, with your presence. In the name of Jesus, amen. The Lord bless you, fill you with his joy. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, amen.
Yeah. Worship you.
Yep, I'll be praying for anyone who wants prayer.